Attention, men. Are you wanting to break free from porn or other unwanted sexual behaviors, but finding it seemingly impossible to quit? If so, we can help. My name is Jonathan Daugherty, the founder of Gateway to Freedom. This 3-day workshop is for any man who wants to overcome any kind of unwanted sexual behavior. So whether you're married, single, or divorced, this powerful and proven intensive weekend will help you uncover what is at the root of your struggle and discover the man God always created you to be. Space is limited, so call us today at 210-822-8201 to register. That's 210-822-8201, or visit bebroken.org/GTF. Good day, friends. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the Pure Sex Radio program, but not just any other episode. Guess what, folks? This is our 1,000th episode. Ooh, can you believe it? We want to thank you for supporting this part of our ministry through listening and responding and financially supporting, and especially for sharing with others. We really are better together and just can't wait to see what the next 1,000 episodes produces. So in this special 1,000th episode, we take a heartfelt trip kind of down memory lane, reflecting on our journey since the podcast was started way back in 2005. We share some personal stories, we discuss the evolution of the show, and we really emphasize the importance of grace and kindness in this challenging work. We also celebrate you, the community that we've built together, and encourage you to reflect on your own experiences and the transformative power of God's grace. This episode is both a celebration of a huge milestone and an invitation for you to share your stories and engage deeply with the mission of transformation. I'd love it if you would share your podcast stories with me directly at jonathan@bebroken.org. To get daily insights from Stephen, visit drmarriage.org. And for additional resources, visit bebroken.org or check out some of the links that we're going to put in today's show notes. And of course, friends, we'd love it if you would rate and review the podcast, because you can help others to find it and get plugged into the next 1,000 episodes. All right, now let's dive into today's historic episode. Well, Mr. Stephen Cervantes, how are you today?
I am blessed and wowed by what you're about to announce.
Yes. So, listeners and viewers, this is a huge, huge day in the history of the Pure Sex Radio podcast. And and it will enlighten many of you newer listeners, newer, let's say, within the last 5 years, of why there's even the word radio in our name of Pure Sex Radio, because this today, Stephen, is our 1,000th episode.
1,000 episodes. 1,000. 1,000 episodes.
Yeah.
Drop the balloons, you know? Throw the confetti.
We probably should have had some little party blowers and hats or something, but
it's it. 1,000 episodes. Use your imagination. We're celebrating.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I want to give a little bit of a history lesson, especially again to some of our newer listeners. We started the program in 2005. So we've actually completed 20 seasons. We're into our 21st season, but that's 20 years. Now, Stephen wasn't actually on the first episode of Pure Sex Radio. I had this idea back in 2005 of how can we start to give more information, get this information out to more people. And so at that point in time, even though podcasts had technically been invented in the year 2004, they didn't start coming around until 2005, really didn't start picking up until even like 2007, 2008, when the iPhone came out. Okay. You had iPod players, and Apple at the end of 2005 made it possible for you to download radio broadcasts onto your iPod, which is why they started to become called podcasts. But here's the thing. They were still basically radio broadcasts that were then just downloaded onto. So the reason we are Pure Sex Radio is because we actually started out on the radio, Stephen. How ancient are we, right? But here's the thing. After about 7 or 8 episodes in 2005, doing these by myself, I realized, you know,
doing, I need help.
Doing a radio program alone is really difficult. I have the utmost respect for people that can, like the Rush Limbaughs of the world, or the people that can just for 3 hours just be by themselves talking.
Amazing.
And so I realized I need help. And then I thought, well, who has been helping me all along from the very beginning of my own journey and everything? I was like, we got to pull Stephen into this. And so since 2006, wow. Stephen has been. Wow. So you've been on, I think, at least over 950 Sheesh. Of those episodes. Like, you've been around for 950 of those.
And I remember you saying, hey, there's some radio stations up in the Northeast that want to carry the program.
We had some in Indiana.
They need material. They need material. And so they're going to use our stuff. I thought, whoa.
Yeah, we had some Christian radio outlets that were in Indiana, New Jersey, some in Pennsylvania. We even had a radio outlet in the Philippines that was running the program. So we were on it. I mean, we were only on about a dozen stations, but still.
So when we go to the Philippines, they're going to be heroes. They're going to say, whoa, I remember you guys.
That's funny. So here's the thing. I also want to remind you what the very first episode is that you and I did together. And this is so appropriate, folks. If you've been around for any length of time and you've heard Stephen talking, the title of our first podcast together is going to make perfect sense.
Uh-oh.
This is the title of the first podcast that you and I did together. Just Run Around Naked. And we were talking about Genesis,
that.
Right?
It makes perfect sense. It's Adam in the garden, enjoying his day, not knowing he's not clothed.
Yeah.
Right?
And that was just it. You were talking about design and how we were at the very beginning, God had chosen, hey, the whole point of the story is to just run around naked.
Innocent, simple, clean, light, free.
Absolutely.
You and I would go to churches for 3 hours on a Saturday. We would wear Hawaiian shirts to be bright and loud and keep the guys awake. And we would talk about this kind of stuff.
Yeah. You know? And part of that with the Hawaiian shirts was because, you know, when you're dealing with what is very, very heavy in terms of, I mean, you're talking about people's brokenness and addiction, and it just rips through families and all that. It can be very easy for a somber approach to become a depressing outcome, like where it can just feel so heavy. So we were like, we have a God of joy, a God of light, a God of hope, a God of peace.
And
you know,
fun, I think, and free.
And so we're like, we're not dismissing the reality, but we wanted to try to bring that hope. And I feel like in many ways, that's what we do in this podcast as well, Stephen, is we're constantly trying to bring people back to, we're going to dig into all the elements of addiction, and we're going to dig into the emotional brokenness and all of that. But what's the point? It's because it's going somewhere good in God's kingdom.
Yes, yes.
So, 1,000 episodes.
Way to go. Just a minute, I'm going to pat myself on the back because I know you'd do it if you were here. And thank you for all the guys that come up. We do intensive weekends, and guys will come up and go, oh, I heard you on the radio. I feel like I know you. And I hope that's what we can create, a sense of community that, like, we're your older brothers. We're coaching you. We're lifting you up when you fall down and saying, oh, quit. Mm-hmm. Never surrender. Never give up. Don't quit. Get back up. A failure is somebody that stays down. A fighter gets up and gets up and gets up and gets up.
And you know what I would love? I would absolutely love it. As I think the best gift that you could give us for our 1,000th episode is I would love to hear from you personally of how anything from this program has benefited you. And I want you to email me directly. It's jonathan@bebroken.org. jonathan@bebroken.org. And send me your comments. I'll share them with Stephen.
Might do a whole podcast on comments if people
do
that.
Yeah, we'd love to hear
that
because that's the greatest gift. We're doing this for you. Man. That's why we do this. This isn't so that we can just hear ourselves talking. we're wanting to give this information and this hope to you.
Well, and that's, if we've been given a gift, right, we want to pass it out. Because God gives us more gifts. He fills us more. And we can give you a little gift on the journey, a little hand up, a little pat on the back, a little attaboy, keep going. And that's what we're all trying to do.
speaking of that, and that's a great segue for where we're going to go today, because, you know, Stephen, years ago, had you had this little season in your life where you were like, man, do I need to hoard all of this content that I have?
That's
like,
true.
And then God just broke through and you realized he's an endless supply.
Amen.
And so Stephen now has a website that's called drmarriage.org. And if you go to drmarriage.org, guess what? Stephen shares a daily thought because God gives him a daily thought of just something. It can
and
be
it's
just a little nugget
for a husband to talk, to read to his wife and bless her and create dialogue. Thank you for saying that. DrMarriage.org. If you want, this is for men to bless their wives, bring material to their wives, nurture and build up their relationships, which we hope these podcasts do that also.
Yeah. So. And that's where we're going to go today. So we're gonna, I thought one of the recent thoughts that came from DrMarriage.org, I felt like would segue really, really well into this 1,000th episode, because I feel like this thought that just has the heading of the question, what is your message?
Yes.
Really fits with like, hey, what's the long-term purpose? What are you really living for? Like, what really jazzes you? And so I wanted to go
there.
Oh, that's
good. So has God touched you in a place where you were stuck or frozen or broken? You know, I feel like God in the Holy Spirit just shows up and gives us little gifts of thoughts and blessings and information and nudges. And it's fun to go to Sunday school. I go to a Sunday school class with a bunch of seniors. And oh, when they open their mouth, they are battle-hardened, tested warriors. And they say the most interesting things about how God showed up and touched them in a moment of need. And so when you think about your life, there have been lots of times God has touched me and lifted me and blessed me. And I've been waiting and waiting for and then the answer comes. And it's so weird to me because a guy will say something to me, and I go, that's the answer. God just showed up. I'm reading a book, or I'm listening to a podcast, and my spirit just jumps. Oh, my goodness. Did you hear that? That's powerful stuff. And we want to ask you, when did God show up and touch you? Because that's the beauty of who God is. He's in the transformation business. He doesn't want you to live and die the same. We're on growth mission. And he's about transformation.
And what I love about what you said about just even a guy showing up and he says it, and it's like, oh, that's the thing, is sometimes I think we're thinking we need to go like sit cross-legged on a mountaintop and wait for some sort of supernatural way in which God is going to touch us or show us something. And not to say those things don't happen, but in the normal course of life, God is touching us all the time. Like there's ways through other people that he's saying, you know what, I'm going to have your life intersect with this person today at that particular time because you need to hear what they're about to say to you because I know the need of your heart. And so I'm going to have them say something to you that you go, oh my goodness.
It's true.
That's
just
exactly what I needed.
Your spirit jumps for a second. I got to tell you, I talk to people in my office and sometimes people show up and say the most profound things about God. And I really feel like God is in the room. And when they walk out, I close the door, I get on my knees, I put my face in the carpet and I say, oh my goodness, this is a holy moment. Wherever God shows up, it's a holy moment. And I'm just touched that he'll allow me to be part of these spiritual experiences. And when people say, well, you know, what's God? He's a crutch. It's like, oh no, there's all these moments that are going to happen in your lifetime and you're going to leap for joy. So Jim Collins is asking this question in one of his talks. He said, what idea or concept is very important to you, so important that you would promote it for the rest of your life? So I got to thinking, what is it? And I made a list. Is it being loved? Is it being forgiven? Is it being chosen? Or maybe it's being known. Could it be the times you walk with God? Or that you know Jesus so intimately. Or maybe it's a sense that you have a place of belonging in the kingdom. But what is it that has touched you deeply that you could say, I have personal experience with this. I know this. I know there's a God because this happened to me.
Yeah. So as you were saying that, I was thinking, man, there's so many areas that you can go, I think. And I think it's good to do what you had done here and say, how would I start to list this out and start to ask myself those questions? Because, you know, we talk to guys a lot of times in their recovery when they're dealing with, hey, I need to break free from whatever unwanted behavior. Right. And we have this one exercise that we invite them into that a lot of guys roll their eyes at, and it's journaling. You know, a lot of guys, oh man, I don't want to do that. And we try to explain to them what we're trying to do is, hey, you want to start getting some patterns. Like, can you see trends? Because here's the thing.
Right.
At any given moment in our life, even asking this question, hey, what's your unique message? Like, what has God touched you? What is the, you know, so important that you're going to promote it for the rest of your life? Well, if you ask somebody that at like 1 p.m. and they had a really good lunch, they could have a particular answer in that moment that might not be the thread of their life, right? You know what I mean? So I think it is good to spend some thought on this, take some time.
Amen.
So we're not trying to give you a cookie cutter answer here. We're inviting you into a space of going, have you explored your own mind and heart to that degree to where you go, I have a sense of what's at my core, like what actually drives me and what I'm most passionate about. Because don't think that you can just come up with that in like a minute of thought. It takes a while, right?
Well, but how would you on the spot, what comes to mind for you in terms of what's a big one?
The big one is, and again, this is going to sound very redundant because what have I been doing for the last 20 years?
Mm.
I mean, I've been living into this question right here of like, when I think about it, I go, I remember being on my living room floor in a puddle of brokenness and tears and being met by a God who says, I love you in that mess. So grace is the foundational, like, passion and story of my life. Grace for me, but also now I go, it's for you too.
Like, that is good.
I want grace to be the thing that absolutely drives everything that I do.
I feel freedom as you say that, and acceptance. What does grace mean? You know, enjoyed by God in his presence, and I can't out-sin him. He can't hate me because that's not his nature. His grace is his nature, no matter what a lughead, clod, you know, individual, whatever I did, God sits there and goes, well, I'm loving. You want to love again, or you want to be stupid some more? It's okay. I'm not in a hurry.
Well, that's just it. I guess what I would say, too, is in that I've come to discover that, you know, the Bible talks about that it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. I thought, even early on in my recovery, even after that amazing encounter with God, I still had the notion of like recovery is really on me.
Recovery is on me.
Meaning like I am going to do this because it's the right thing to do and I've got to get my life in order.
Yes. And, oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
not realizing
actually, you know what really changes my heart to want to do what God wants?
Let me think about this. Yes.
Is what? His kindness.
The kindness.
It's not because God's over me with a stick saying, get it right, buddy, get it right. It's like I realized, wow, he is absolutely eternally generous with his grace, generous with his kindness. And I thought about it this way. How did I respond to my parents and how did my kids respond to me? I responded way more. I mean, I felt it way more in my bones to want to please them because they were kind to me. Because they were continually in they persevered in love. And I noticed that with my own kids too. Oh yeah, I could get big and loud and I could just make them do something, but then I realized I lost their heart in that. But then when I just continue to be kind and kind, I'm like, that changes their heart. So anyway, grace is the
really
foundational.
Good. But the kindness of God.
Yeah.
And the acceptance and the understanding and the being present, that's good. That's really good.
So where did you go after writing all these questions? Did you start to come to a central place in your own being? Like, what is the driving?
Yes, but I have to take a side trip.
Okay.
Before I go to my 2 points. So I've been a pleaser all my life. I'm a recovering pleaser or recovered pleaser because I've been transformed. But I want to make you happy. I want you to have a good time. I want you to like me. I was journaling this morning. If you like me, then you'll keep me around. And if you liking me is kind of like love. It's as close as you can get to making somebody love you is make them like you. And then if they like you, you might belong there, and then you'll be safe because you have a place to belong and to be loved. And so all this good stuff happens when I sort of manipulate you into liking me and laughing and enjoying it. I can't tell if it's my personality, if it's a role. You know, I like being lighthearted anyway, but I think I gravitated towards this pleasing thing.
Yeah.
To be included, right? So I get this thought, okay, this is amazing. This is a God moment. And he says, this thought pops in my head. And it's me saying this to another person. I give you permission to not like me. Now, that is weird. But it's freeing.
Yeah.
Because remember, the pleaser has to get the outcome.
Yeah.
But what if God and I are good, and what if I don't need to be liked by everybody or accepted or included? What if I'm okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I've never been able to say, how do I get out of this thing I set up? Well, I give you permission to not like me. Freeze me.
Yeah.
And lets you do whatever you want to do, and I park the pleaser, and we can be regular guys, and it gives me control. When you think about it, I give you permission to not like me.
It totally reframes your expectations of any encounters, right? Because your previous expectation was coming in of like, if you don't like me,
yes,
I'm going to be disappointed and I'm going to work harder to please you. And
that's right.
And so your expectation previously was framed with a lot of stress in it because the circumstance had to go a particular way.
Yeah.
Whereas if you go, I give you permission to not like me, you've totally reframed it where it's like, actually, you can do anything you want. And I realize I can still have control over myself, and I won't even be as disappointed because I'm expecting that if you go, I don't like you, Stephen, you go, okay.
I gave you permission to not like me, so it's just fine if you don't like me.
Yeah.
It set me free from the trap that I've never been able to figure out. I mean, I've lived past it. I don't really like lose sleep as much, but I'm playing with this idea that Brené Brown said, I don't listen to people that are in the bleachers. When I'm down on the field of battle and I'm trying to change lives and help people, there are critics all around.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I don't want to listen to the critics because they'll be critical. Everybody has something to be critical about. If you're a warrior and you have battle scars, then you may approach me and tell me.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a critic, make your noise and chatter all you want up there in the bleachers, but you're not a warrior. And don't think critics are warriors. They're
right.
Not. So you've been banged on and battle-hardened and knocked down and punched in the face and mistreated emotionally about things. And so have I. And now it's a badge of honor. To be a warrior with scars and for people to not like me. That has been a thought in my head recently. But now I have an emotional, spiritual tool that says, I give you permission.
Right, that's awesome.
Tell me how much you don't like me. It's okay. You're going to be okay and I'm going to be fine. And so the pleaser is now parked. I can be regular guy.
Yeah. That idea of critic, it makes me think. Recently I heard somebody say that in the church a lot of times we have a lot of reporters but not many reformers.
Oh, that's another
thing. Everybody's
way
reporting
to say
on all the chaos and everything, but it's like, but who's doing anything about it? Who's loving their neighbor?
Yes.
Who's actually getting into the battle, like you said, you know?
And I love that. I want to be battle scarred when life is over. I want to have taken hits and been knocked down, punched in the face emotionally, spiritually. I want to be a warrior.
We could have, for 1,000 episodes, very easily just been reporters. and come and told you how bad the porn problem is, how bad, you know, how broken homes are, how many divorces are happening, all this kind of stuff. We could have been reporters, but we decided to be reformers.
Amen.
We want to come in here and we say, we want to give you practical, helpful, like, information that can actually help you in your life and your relationships, right? And that's where I think ultimately you landed.
Yes,
in terms
but,
of.
But do you remember one criticism came in early? Do you remember what it was? I mean, I'm sure you've heard a bunch. You have been so kind to protect me. You go, I just let them go. I don't care about people that are critics. But one came in, and we talked about it. And he said, Stephen laughs at the wrong time.
Yeah.
He laughs too much.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. We had a, I mean, and I, it wasn't just once. This guy was just hounding me all the time. About like, and then he was... He was actually almost making it sound like he was trying to protect me. Do you get offended, Jonathan? Because sometimes it seems like he might even be laughing at you. And I'm like, are you kidding? And I looked at that and I go, that's Bleacher's guy. I know Steven.
Yeah.
So I know when you're laughing. I know why you're laughing. I know you. So I know you're not, it's not a nervous thing. It's not a, I mean, I know that it's your personality, so it doesn't bother me.
It just comes out of my soul. I can't help it. I find things funny. I want to laugh. I want to have joy. And some people, I mean, this guy didn't get it. And so it's like, okay, I got a little scar here, a little brownie patch of laughing at the wrong time. Okay, you failed and screwed up. Okay, fine. But it's, you know, you have to go on. You have to warrior on. And I hope this is encouraging you, actually, because you're going to take hits for Christ. And people, culture's getting sicker. You know, it's going to get harder. And but let's go back to the conclusion, if we can, because talking from a spiritual perspective, a big life-changing perspective, the question was, what are the big things that you would fight and die for? What are the things that you can tell another human being, this changed my life. This is why I'm a Christian. This is, and nobody can take that from you. Do you understand? When you know that God has touched you and blessed you, that is your testimony.
Yeah.
That is the point of transformation. That is where God becomes real and worth fighting for. If he's just in your head and you have no experiences, it's hard to fight for the faith.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, sometimes it's like God's quiet a lot and it's going to be hard on this task and you might question yourself. But when he shows up a few times, it's like, I'm sold. Mm-hmm. He showed up when I needed him. I got what I needed. I'm just fine. So my two thoughts are this. Jesus wants me to run an emotional program that's based on peace, rest, and joy. Right? The peace that surpasses understanding. Come to me, all you who are weary. I'll give you rest. Mm-hmm. And we know about the joy of the Lord is my strength. So finding that has really helped me because those are the three things. I want to build my whole life on three things, peace, rest, and joy. And where does the rest come from? I'll tell you where it comes from. I used to run a group, and the men in there struggled. And they had no rest. I could just hear how weary they were.
Yeah.
They fight the battle. They fight. They try to stop the battle. Then they pick up the battle. Then they fall down. There's no rest. If you can't rest, you can't fight well. You get tired. Mm-hmm. So I said, did Christ say anything about rest? We got to practice rest.
Absolutely.
That's number one. Any comment on that one?
Go ahead.
No. Any comment on that one?
Well, I was just going to say on that that – it makes me think over the years, you know, you had many years ago, you would talk all the time about, man, I love marriage. I love marriage. I love marriage. And I don't think that has changed. I think you've gone deeper than that, though, because now as you really dig into all of the emotional aspects of all of that, you're realizing it's not what I think that you loved. But you can tell me if I'm wrong here. But what I think that you loved most about the topic of marriage was the way that the whole person could really connect with another person.
Yes.
And so then when you started getting down in the layers of the spiritual and the emotional of that, you go, oh, man, I found the golden nuggets that I've been looking for, you know, because that you get, you know, marriage is up here, and then you start talking about emotional growth and stuff, and then all of a sudden the lights come on a whole new way in you because I think that's your passion.
That's a beautiful segue into, remember I said there's two. The first one is, what do I want to run on? Peace, rest, and joy. But what do I love? It's the topic of oneness. Mm. When you say marriage, it's oneness, right? Yeah. And so I love everything about spiritual oneness and emotional oneness. And we're told marriage is a reflection of Christ's love for the church.
Right.
Right? So you see that theme of marriage and oneness. So I love anything that makes us better bonded, mm-hmm. one, connected with God, right, on our walk and these experiences with God and with one another. It's just fabulous.
Yeah.
To be a part of oneness. That means spiritual growth, emotional growth, good connecting, ultimately oneness.
Yeah, well, this has been really good. I mean, we've covered a lot of ground to celebrate a 1,000th episode.
1,000 episodes.
And then get into this topic that is so, I think, core to how we live our lives. And so my hope is that what your takeaway can be from this is what do you run on? And what is it that you love? Like, how has God wired you and created you? What's your passion? And here's what I will say to something you said a minute ago about battle scars. I truly believe that our greatest purpose for ourselves individually most often comes through the points of our deepest pain, the points of our deepest struggles or suffering. So whatever, if you're in a deep valley right now, do not think that it is purposeless. Do not think that there's nothing good that can come from this, because I think it's the soil in which God is actually, you know, making you into the person that he's intended to be for the ultimate purpose. So be encouraged in that. We want to walk alongside you, so feel free to reach out to us, and because we want to help you take your next best step on this
Celebrate
journey.
Today. God is good. Be Broken's been around a long time. Pure Sex Radio, 1,000 episodes. And thank you, Jonathan, for being the leader of this mission and blessing and serving the body of Christ.
Amen. I receive that. And we look forward to seeing you back here again next time. So take care.
God bless.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.